no power. Yeah, like imagine you're sitting in a house with computers and all these other, right? But no electricity. So all that stuff comes kind of useless. You know, and that's what it's like to be a man of many gifts, many talents, but no drive. And, but drive is a gift. How'd you get drive? Well, I just drive myself. Wait, you mean you just make, you pull that out of thin air? People think they do. But it's because it's in them. People look at people, they say they're lazy sluggards, and it's true. They are lazy sluggards. God doesn't like that. But he made lazy sluggards. In fact, some lazy sluggards are called to the gospel, and then God says to them, be diligent. And he doesn't just say be diligent, he says it to them, and then if they are his, he's going to give it to them. You can't say, James chapter 2, I'm going to read this again. This pertains to this verse very much. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians 4, 7 is one of my favorite whole verses in the entire Bible. And it goes perfectly with James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? So I say to you, if God says to you, be diligent, notwithstanding, he doesn't give you diligence, he doesn't give you the things that are needful, the drive, what does it profit? It doesn't profit you anything. Well, how does, again, now comes the question everyone has in their mind. Well, how does he yet find fault? That's what Paul said. Thou wilt then say unto me, why does he yet find fault? Romans 9. I taught Romans 9. Go study it. He finds fault because he created that thing so he could find fault with it, essentially. God created all things for himself, Proverbs 16:4 says. Yes, even the wicked for the day of evil. God created the wicked for the evil day. I want to make an evil day, so I'm going to have to make some wicked people for that evil day. People say, well, that's cruel. No, no, no. See, God hates sluggardness. And he created sluggards. Therefore, God is gracious to sluggards. He allows them to live. If God created a world in which there was nothing he hated, none of us would ever exist because we had those things in us. Even we who believe. Even we who, by faith, are becoming the sons of God, we had those things in us that God hates. We never would have existed. Our forebears had those things. They would never have been. God is gracious to the wicked. Because in that he hates them, he still created them. And allows them to live. He could have just left things the way they were for most of eternity. None of us. You think about that. God had eternity past. And no one ever called him unjust. No one ever accused him of being wicked. Until he created wicked people who would accuse him of that. And that's just man. That's the nature of man. And God created that nature. But I say he's gracious to me. For allowing, he's gracious to us for letting us live. Whether we be his or not, he's still good. I don't care what you say. It's like I said, he had all eternity with nobody, and nobody ever complained. Nobody ever complained until the wicked. Because everything that was made that is not eternal is infinitely smaller than he is. And infinitely shorter. even the angels, which are greater than us in power and certainly in age, they are what? But a drop. God takes up the nations like a drop in a bucket. They're nothing. So people don't get about God. God is exceedingly large. Exceeding. Like, scientists are barely able to comprehend the vastness of the universe, right? And even that, though we put numbers on it and they have calculations, it's just ridiculously large compared to us. You know, and they understand that, but it's like, really, do you know, can you feel it, though? You know what I mean? Like, you stand next to a skyscraper, you feel big. You look at the Earth, you think big. You look at Jupiter, you know, you think all these big things. You know, but you'd have to really fire yourself across it at the speed of light to really understand how big it is. You know, seeing how it would take like several days to get to the planets at the speed of light. You know, and so on and so forth. God is much bigger than the universe. Much bigger. In a, you know, and he's also much smaller. And that he could fit inside of a human heart and not be detected. You know, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So you can't just say 1 day to 1,000 years. Because it's like, really? And I say, well, it's like, you know, since Jesus left, it's 2 days, 2,000 years. Well, you could say that. Or you could say it is 2,000,000 years to God. You know, I think that's the proper... 1,000 times 2,000 is 1,000,000. 1,000,000 is 100... Yeah, it's 1,000,000. It's been 2,000,000 years since Jesus left it to God. You mean how patient he's been to wait for 2,000,000 years to go by since Jesus? And just so you understand, it's been like 2,000,000 years to him. Yeah, it's been like 2 days. It's also been like 2,000,000 years. People always emphasize one side of the equation. They never emphasize the other side. I like to look at things from all sides. It's my way. It's the wisdom God gave me. Again, even the wisdom, there's a wisdom in man. I had certain gifts given to me from my youth, from my birth, right? That doesn't necessarily make it the world's wisdom. What happens is the world wisdom is the things you learn in the world, as they ought to be in the world. And yeah, and man himself has wisdom given from God, but it doesn't necessarily lead them to God.